talk about your ministry and preach for us.
Thank you, preacher. You are at the same stage of the game. I want you to find in your Bible, we won't go there yet, but find Psalm 70 and Psalms 40. And if you've heard me preach the last 14 or 15 times I've been in this church over the years, I'm not going to preach that way tonight. As a matter of fact, the Lord messed my mind up, and that didn't take much. But I'm going to preach tonight a message that I wanted to preach on Sunday morning. And I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Let me ask you a question. I ask it everywhere, and I know
where was I at? Somebody got to help me here. What did I just say before I got interrupted by this mic? I can't hear you. Where did I get my hearing aid in? Let me go back and start again. Anyway, I ask this question everywhere I go. Although Alaska is probably in the churches in Alaska, they can answer it a lot better than most places down below. How many folks in here you do not understand or you do not understand very well this terminology? 1040 window. Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3 people. Well, forget about it. I ain't going to spend time on it. Now, let me give you a real quick stats on 1040 window. Because I didn't know anything. Listen, I've been preaching now 44 years. Been doing missionary work 44 years. But I knew that much about the 1040 window. It's a different kind of ministry. Dr. Charles Keene started First Bible International after he had pastored our church for 35 years. After he had established the Bearing Precious Seed Bible Printing Ministry. How many know about that ministry? He had 42 missionary members in the membership of the church. Missionary families in the membership of the church. When he resigned the pulpit. And he asked our Heavenly Father to give him a mission ministry that would take him further than any of the missionaries had ever gone. And God gave him the 1040 window. That's his burden. But it's a different kind of ministry. I believe in mission work in America, we've been doing something, we've been doing a good job. We have about 12,500 churches just like this that give to missions on a regular basis. But of all the money those 12,500 churches give to missions, 0.02% of every dollar gets into the 1040 window. 2 cents out of every dollar. It's a different ministry. This is, praise the Lord, when I was here the last time, we were still translating this in the capital city of Mongolia. We have the New Testament complete. In Mongolia. As a matter of fact, Dr. Keene and Brother Duffett's boy and the fellow that's going to to take over the church up there. They were in New York last week. The president of Mongolia was there in the big United Nations Antichrist ministry. Was there, and Dr. Keene had an appointment with the president of Mongolia to present him the first copy of the Mongolian New Testament. And the exact time, and these fellows are very busy, the exact time that he was supposed to present, make a presentation, we had videographers there and everything, the head of the programs called a meeting of all the leaders. And they didn't get to present him his copy. But he called Dr. Keene afterwards and says, gave him an address, said, please mail that copy of your book to me. I'm anxious to see it. When Dr. Keene first went into Mongolia, he met with the president. The president says, why do you want to come into our country? He said, we want to give you a good copy of the Word of God, which they did not have. He said, do you know what happens when that book comes into our kind of country? He said, no, sir. What happened? He said, in the Middle East, there is no such thing as if we have anything that's known as morals, they're very low, very bad. But something happens when that book of yours comes into our countries in the Middle East. It seems like a miracle happens and morality starts rising to higher degrees. So you have my permission not only to translate your book into our language, but you have permission to print your book and distribute it in all the country, and especially my preference would be start in our schools. They're taking it out of the schools here. And he wants it put in there. But let me give you the background on just this. Our head translator was named Billy Patterson, the son of a missionary in Mexico, Mike Patterson. And you know Mike. Mike's got a ministry in Cuernavaca, Mexico, and Mount Abram Baptist Missionary Association in the church there, Mount Abram Baptist Church. And I think they've trained probably 200-300 Mexican nationals, even some of them over in Cuba when we worked in Cuba. His son was in India translating. Dr. Keene went and met with him and said, Billy, would you pray about coming and making the translation for us in the Mongolian language? He said, I'll pray about it if you'll get me a place to do the work. Dr. Keene rented an apartment, $1,100 a month. And Billy came. And Billy, when I first met him, it was the first time I went to Mongolia, I said, Billy, how'd you get in linguistics? He said, my dad made me take my first course when I was 12 years old. I said, how old are you now? He said, 43. I said, how many languages do you really know? He said, I know and can teach 17 different languages. I got 3. I know a little bit of Spanish, a little bit of English, and a whole lot of hillbilly. Billy was our head translator. We had a woman, 64 years old, spoke perfectly good English, and knows her Bible better than most preachers. And she was the dean of a college in India, or in Mongolia. Then we had a Mongolian pastor and a Mongolian school teacher. And they worked 4, 5, and 6 days a week, 10 and 12 hours a day, sweating out this here. 8 years. 8 years. I asked Dr. Keene not too long ago, I said, "Preacher, we had this complete." And by the way, in Mongolia, we have a state-of-the-art print shop. $100,000 printing press, $80,000 binder, $70,000 used folder trimmer. And my nephew's been over there training nationals for 4 years on how to print a Bible they'd never seen. And it's in Mickey Kofor. Do you know Mickey Kofor? It's in his thing up north. I said, "How much we got in that?" He said, "God has invested just in this. The cost of this was $60,000. I said, "Well, how much total you got in the whole project?" He said, "Close to $500,000. You say, "That's an awful lot of money. They don't have one Bible." Folks, that's our responsibility. I believe Dr. Keene has taught this for the last 40 years. It's the church's responsibility to put the Bible in the hands of people. I think the church has four responsibilities. Number one, soul searchers, searching for lost souls. Number two, sending servants where servants haven't been sent. Number three, supplying the scripture where there is no scripture. And number four is submission to the Savior in what He tells us to do. Pray for Mongolia, because now we're going into the Old Testament. That's the next project. And this was petty cash compared to the Old Testament. It'll take 15 years. And if things go like they're going in the world today, we don't have 15 years. And we're going to have to do the fighting for our lives here. But pray for Mongolia. Pray for the 1040 window. And pray that we'll, some way, somehow, put more Bibles into the hands of Bibleless people so that they can have the opportunity. Does not our book say, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God"? You say, "But that's an awful lot of money. Can't you just send a man?" I know I'm dragging this out, but I want to show you something. I saw this very plain in Mongolia. Missionary, God calls him to go to a foreign land after he goes on the purgatory trail. I mean, deputation. 4, 5, 6 years. How long take you? 4 years. Then he goes to the foreign field. And then it takes him, depending on the severity of the language, the complications of the language, it takes him anywhere from 4 to 7 years. Then he starts with God blessing him because he was obedient, he starts trying to preach while he's learning the language. And they have some good stories to tell you about people laughing in the pews because of what they say. But then he gets to a point where he can communicate to them that the God of his Bible says you must be born again. And that God loves you. And that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. And because of His obedience and His desiring with His whole heart to reach some of them, God will allow some of those in that situation to say, But you know how they do it? Because of what he says. And they trust him. And they trust his Bible. And they trust his God. But how much more can it be simplified if you just put a Mongolian Bible in his hand? No longer does the man have to stand there and say, "My Bible says." He can now say, "Turn in your Bible." And the same Holy Spirit that works in your heart, my heart, and the King James Bible will work in their hearts in the Textus Receptus translation. That accelerates the time and the troubles and the ministry of trying to train them to do their own work. We've got men there now because we've printed John and Romans for the last 10 years. They are giving them out, printing them and giving them out and telling others what God says about their soul in Mongolia. And so, this has to be done. It's our job. It's our duty. And God's doing it all over India and all over the 1040 window. Thank you for praying for us and for helping us get that done. If you haven't got Psalm 70 and 40, just act like you have. Stand with me. I want to read something to lighten you up a minute. Listen to this. I thought this was funny. Especially in Alaska. You got more trucks here than you got cars. A husband went to the sheriff's department to report that his wife was missing. "My wife's missing," she said to the man behind the desk. "She went shopping yesterday and has not come home." What was her height? "Gee, I'm not sure. A little over 5 feet." "What was her weight?" "Don't know." "She's not slim, not really fat." "What color's her eyes?" "Oh, I never noticed." "What color's her hair?" "Well, this week it's brown." "What was she wearing?" I don't remember. Could have been a skirt or shorts. I don't remember exactly. "What kind of car did she go in?" "She went in my truck." "What kind of truck was it?" "A brand new 2015 Ford F-150 King Ranch 4x4 with EconoBoost 5.0-liter engine, V8 engine, special order with manual transmission. Has custom matching white cover for the bed, custom leather seats and Bubba floor mats, trailer and package with a gold hitch, DVD with a navigation, 21-channel CB radio, 6 cup holders and 4 power outlets, added special alloy wheels and off-road Michelin, and my wife put a little scratch on the driver's side." "Don't worry, sir. We'll find your truck." Psalms 40 and 70. Look with me, if you will, in 40. I'm going to read two verses, and they both just about say the same thing. Verse 16, Psalms 40. "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." Now in Psalm 70, look with me if you will in verse 4. "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, we thank you for this place, these people, and the effect they've had on the work of God around the world. I pray that you'd arrest our attention on the main job, I think, that we have to do in this business of doing your work. And I believe that's to magnify you. in our hearts, in our lives, so that others may see what kind of God we do have. Bless in an unusual way this evening, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I got to thinking about that, magnifying God, and I got to studying some words in secular realm and also biblical words that could be used the same way. To magnify means to promote or to make excellent, to advance or to boost or to increase or to build up. Or to elevate, or to extol, or to glorify, or to exalt. All of those could be traded with the word magnify. Before I got saved, I was building houses and things like that, but my trained occupation was I was a journeyman tool and die maker. And we worked in aircraft parts and things like that. And we had a real close tolerance job in one of the places I was in. We were doing aeronautic work, and we had to take literally 1 inch and divide it 1,000 times. Hold still, I'm going to do it. Hold still. I'm not going to bite you. That hair didn't get it. But that, if I'd have got that hair, it looks like a pretty fat hair. The human hair measures, if it's fat, it'll be 4/1000ths of an inch. If it's skinny, it'll be 3/1000ths of an inch. How in the world? We had what we call a shadow graph. You got a dime? You got a dime? Who's got a dime? I got quarters. Never mind. Quarters got it too. The quarters got big ones. We took a dime. You got a dime? Hey, you haven't got any better looking. Feel that? Still that serrated edge?
Yeah.
If you put this dime in a V-block and put a shadow graph behind it and turn it on, we had a 45-foot high wall. I put that in my pocket. I get love off them that way. 45-foot wall with the shadow graph behind the dime. Now, I'm not talking about the whole dime. I'm talking about the serrated here. On the 45-foot wall, we would have a great big V. From the point, the bottom point of that serration to the top, it would be 45 feet tall. And that would be just touching the hem of the garment when we look at the scripture and say, our job is to magnify God. I found 5 ways I want to talk to you tonight. I'll do it real quickly if you'll listen quickly. 5 means to magnify the dear Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read a verse for you. Philippians Chapter 2, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. Now, if you did a word study in the Word of God, you'd find out that exalted and magnified is the same word. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Our job, I believe, is to magnify his worthy name with our life, with our lips, with our every being. We're to magnify the dear Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I think four or five times this last week I've talked to people and I've used this verse I'm going to read for you. Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, not hope so, think so, maybe so, but shall be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. And by the way, this is going to come true, I think, in America before we even realize it's coming. 1 John 5:13. Whatever you do, Colossians 3:17, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a name that is above every name. We ought to magnify it in our lives. Now, how do you make the great God bigger? Well, some folks don't think he's as big as he is. So we have to show them with our lives that we think he's bigger than you. And we need to do the magnifying. God will magnify it. He already said he exalted, and we ought to magnify what he says he magnifies. That ought to be the most important thing in our life. We wouldn't have to worry about, am I going soul winning or not? Am I going to tithe this week or not? Am I going to do this or am I going to do that? No, if you just keep magnifying God in your heart and in your soul and in front of other people, you wouldn't have to worry about all those little things. You'd be too busy magnifying the greatest thing, his name. A name which is above every name. Isn't it amazing that that's the only way anybody in this lost, hell-bound world can get saved is through his name? Isn't that a miracle? And the greatest miracle of that is he saved some of us. We ought to magnify his name for that. We are saved in and by and through his name. We are baptized in his name. We pray in the name of Jesus. We work in the name of Jesus. We give in the name of Jesus. And we go to the farthest ends of this world in his name. Numero uno. We need to magnify his worthy name. Now let me give you the second one. Magnify his willing workers. And the Lord said unto Joshua, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. When I saw this verse, when God was giving me this thought, these thoughts, I thought this. Yes, we ought to magnify him. But don't you think we ought to also magnify what he magnifies? And he just talked to one of his workers, a great worker of God. And I've been taught this ever since I got saved, March 12, 1972, that the labor is worthy of his hire. And we ought to obey them that have the rule over us. Because they watch out for our soul, that they might give an account. Their job is to watch out after our soul. Our job is to magnify their office. God help us to magnify His willing workers. First Chronicles 29:4. All the princes and the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. And 2 Chronicles 1:1, and Solomon the son of David was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. You see, God never calls anybody to a place to try and reach your people unless he makes them different than the average Joe. He lifts them up. We need to magnify those God's given over us. Number three. Psalms 138:2. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Why is this need to go over there? Because it's over. Magnified. Over. You could go over there and talk about God all you want, but when you put one of these in their hands, this changes the heart of man. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Do you know there's 6,000 dialects in the 1040 window? Did you know that 14% of those dialects have one of these? You know what that told me, Brother Stan, when I got that stat? Half of the world does not have a book like this. What have we been doing? We've done good in our realm. But you know what we're really doing? And it's not wrong. We're sending men to the same places. This dear brother's going to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And that's not wrong. Because God told him to go there. You know, I went there 12 years I was there. And for 12 years we planted churches in Canada. And in 12 years we planted 8 churches in Canada. And 4 of them will still let me come preach. And 4 of them don't want me to come. Because they're afraid of what I would preach. And it's not wrong. We're supposed to send them Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, but we've forgotten about the othermost. And the Word needs to go over there too. This is the most important thing we have in order to reach people with. This book. Everybody talks about their God. India's got 1 million of them. But they don't have a book like this. Not only do they talk about their God, but this talks to them. This convicts them. And this will save them. If they do what he says. Magnify His Word. Revelations 24, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God. You know what? It's coming here. That verse is going to be true not too long from now. Guarantee you. In Revelation 1:9, I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. Why? For the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, the trouble we are having in America is not in Washington. The trouble we're having in America is in the pulpits of our churches and in the pews of our churches. We quit doing the job for God. Magnify His Word. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Psalms 119:89. Number 4. Magnify His warming work. Job said this, 36:24. Remember that Thou magnify His work, which men behold. I asked a preacher today, is there a car wash around here to wash inside and outside your car? And he looked up the car. What's the name of this road down here? Right up there, just a little ways. I went up there and he said, I can give you an appointment. About 3 weeks away. I said, that ain't going to work for me. I just come here. I'm just here till Sunday. And I said, I'm down to Independent Baptist Church preaching the gospel. And I got to get it. He said, okay, Friday. I'm going over there Friday. I said, well, listen. I got to talking to him about Jesus. He said, you know, I used to go to Sunday school. He said, I used to read my Bible. And then he confessed his sin. He said, I married a Mormon girl. And trouble started. I said, well, marriage usually does that sometimes. If you marry the wrong one. But he says he's coming here Sunday morning. I said, well, I'll come back Friday. I said, and I'll sit and wait till you get it done. And I said, I'll bring my Bible, and you and I will look at my Bible, and we can see if you want to really go to heaven or not. He said, I like that. So you pray for the guy that owns the car wash that's so busy it takes you 2.5 months to get the car in. That's the work He gives us to do. I just got done building a house. Didn't have time to do anything with the yard, and it was a mess anyway. So I called a landscaping company, and a Spanish lady answered the phone. And I gave her what I wanted. I said, could you send one of your people? I said, do you hire a lot of Spanish folks? Because I was in Cuba and need to practice my Spanish. She said, todos Espanoles. We don't hire anything else. We own this company and we're going to hire our own. Good. Send me one out and tell me how much you want for doing my yard. So Geraldo came. And he gave me a price and he started to go. I said, wait a minute. Un momento, señor. I said, yo, precador, I'm a preacher. I need to talk to you. I wouldn't be a good preacher if I didn't talk to you about heaven. Oh, I'm all right. I'm a Catholic. I said, that's why I want to talk to you. It was probably 20 minutes. Geraldo and I were down like this. And that 32-year-old, 33-year-old man was crying like a baby and received Jesus. Don't raise your hand. But I wonder how many folks in this room you have never experienced that work of the Holy Spirit of God using you to reach somebody. You don't know what you're missing. But that's the warming work of God. That's why He saved us, so we could tell somebody else and make Him look bigger in their life. God help us to enlarge. God help us to magnify. God help us to exalt so that everybody that sees us will think one of two things. They're crazy or they're on the way to heaven. Or both. Magnify His warming work. Now I'm going to give you the most important one. Number 5. I'll read the verse first so I can get a word out I want you to see. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? I wonder inside of you what's the most important thing in that for you. I wonder in here and in here, in your body, your soul, and your spirit. Is He not numero uno? Or is the world and the flesh and the devil and all that stuff taking their toll on your attention to Him? Philippians, Paul said this, chapter 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. It's our job to allow God to be the biggest thing in our lives. I mean, so consumed with Him, we don't have time for all that foolishness. Magnify Him in your body. Magnify Him in your life. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says this, verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be it transformed by the renewing of mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. 1 Corinthians 9:27, here's what Paul said, and I'm about done. But I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. One word I'm going to pick out of that statement in verse 27, others. Years ago I heard this, and I haven't forgotten. I put it down, I want to read it to you. And here's what it's all about. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again and less to live for others. When on earth my work is done and my new work in heaven begun, may I forget the crowns I've won by thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me live for others, listen now very carefully, that I might magnify thee. You want to get the victory in this life? Make him number one. Numero uno. Nothing's as important as he is, except what he makes important. His work, his workers, and your life. He thought so much of your life that he died so that you could be like him. Let's bow our heads.